live from Buffalo Creek. If you would, please turn your Bibles tonight to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm glad the Lord worked that out, that all the songs we sung tonight were about prayer, and we're going to be dealing with this exhortation here in 1 Thessalonians 5. Last week we looked at verse 16, rejoice evermore. And certainly, if you think deeply about what God has done, who He is, what He is doing, what He will do, really every day should be one of rejoicing evermore. And then we have another admonition, that these are admonitions that are important to your spiritual growth, your spiritual development. You're not going to grow in grace if you're not rejoicing in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength, it says in Nehemiah. So, rejoicing is absolutely vital to your spiritual well-being. I've always been amazed at the Apostle Paul and all of the circumstances that he was found in, and yet was able to rejoice. And the theme of Philippians is rejoice. And certainly, if we're going to be spiritual and connected to God and obedient to Him, we've got to rejoice evermore. Now, verse 17, the next exhortation to promote inward spirituality is to pray without ceasing. This means that the saints of God are called to a life of prayer that is marked by dependence upon God. In reality, why do we pray? Well, number one, God commands us to pray. So whenever God commands us to do something, we ought to do it. But in reality, our prayers reveal that we need Him. We are in complete dependence every day. Were it not for the goodness, the grace, the mercy, the power of God, we wouldn't make it. So we must depend upon Him for all things physical, for our food. That's why Jesus in the model prayer said, give us this day our daily bread. Because we need to go to God with our material, physical needs. We also need to go to God with our sins, and we need to adore Him, confess our sins, thank Him, and offer supplication. That's the acts of prayer. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Pray without ceasing. Prayer is a lifeline. God's Word is His truth to us. Prayer is when we talk to God and go directly to Him through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, we may not always be able to be in the conventional posture of prayer, but we can maintain an inward attitude of prayer where our hearts and our minds are engaged in communication and in fellowship with God. Learn this. You can talk to God anywhere, anytime. You can go to Him, to the throne of grace, for help in time of need. And you can go boldly because the blood of Jesus has put away your sins. He's made you right. You have the righteousness of Christ upon you. You can go in His name and God will hear you. And we need to realize this every day. You see, prayer is not just, it's not the moving of the lips, but it's the elevation of the heart to God. That's the essence of true prayer. Now, I've many times I pray out loud. There are times when my prayer may only be three words. Oh Lord, help me. I need your grace. I need you right now. Or it may be quite a bit lengthier than that. You look at the prayers in the Bible, a lot of them are very brief. One of the longest prayers is in Daniel chapter 9. And Daniel, one of the most spiritual men that lived in all of the Old Testament, starts off his prayer adoring God and recognizing His greatness, His sovereignty, His power, His glory, and then recognizing, and He includes Himself, Lord, we have sinned, as He went before the Lord. Prayer is so vital. Viewed in its proper light, prayer is one of the most important spiritual exercises in the life of a believer. And we ought to engage in it every day. Where there is little of the spirit of prayer, there will be little spirituality. There will not be a hungering after God, a desire for the things of God. If you're not praying, you're not seeking the Lord aright. You're not obeying the commands of Scripture. Prayer proves our dependence upon God and our need for Him to direct our daily lives. Now believe me, as you go to God in prayer and the Holy Spirit directs your prayers to God, I don't believe that He is going to reveal to you something outside of the Scriptures. I've heard people say, well, I was praying and God showed me something entirely new. I don't believe that. Everything's in the Word of God. We got everything we need right here. But He may give you a better understanding as you study the Scriptures and you go to Him and you say, Lord, help me. Give me light. Give me strength. Give me understanding. You'll see it all through Psalm 119. Where David is resolving to walk with God and to serve Him. And yet he's praying for God to give him light and understanding as he goes before Him. Every aspect of our lives should be permeated by the spirit and attitude of prayer. Jesus said that. In Luke 17:1, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. I don't know what it is, but as I've gotten older, I wake up in the middle of the night. And sometimes it's three or four times where I don't sleep as good as I once did. Well, you know, I don't waste that time. If I wake up in the middle of the night, I start praying. I just start talking to the Lord. I think in the Rolodex of my mind, the needs that people have, the concerns that I have, the sins perhaps that I didn't deal with that the day previous. I go to God in prayer. Don't waste opportunities. You're driving to work. You can go to God in prayer. You can talk directly to Him. When a saint of God is found communing with God, where his meat and drink is bound up in fellowshipping with the Almighty in prayer, there will be a spirit of rejoicing that is evident to all. Now, who is the greatest example that we have in Scripture with prayerfulness? who was the Lord Jesus. You read the four Gospels, His entire ministry was marked by powerful prayer and communion with the Father. One of the most spiritual prayers, it is the most spiritual prayer recorded in all the Bible, is in John 17, where the Lord Jesus Christ just opens up His heart to the Father. It's glorious. It's amazing. And it's revealed for us to see how diligently Christ sought the Father in His humanity. You know, the early churches, the nucleus, the first members of the first church, they went everywhere with Christ for 3.5 years. They saw Him praying. They heard Him praying. And you know what? On the day of, when they're waiting in the upper room in Acts chapter 1, they're praying. They're seeking God. They're communing with the Most High. They followed the lead of the Lord Jesus. They often prayed with great intensity and power. I think one of the most amazing ones, and I've alluded to this several times, is in Acts chapter 4, after they had already been imprisoned and released and threatened, they went directly to God in prayer, and they began to pour out their hearts. And you'll note in Acts chapter 4, when you read it, you'll find that they were worshiping God. They were acknowledging His sovereignty, His creatorial rights over everything. They were praying with great intensity, with great power. And it says in verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the Word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all." All that associated with prayer. And I pray that God will put that kind of spirit in our individual lives, in our homes, in our churches. Prayer is also the greatest antidote for worry and one of the greatest sources of inward peace. You know, when you put the message that I preached this morning about God's decrees and this message about prayer, there's not a reason in the world that any of us should be captivated with an attitude of worry. We shouldn't fret about anything. We shouldn't worry because God is in charge. Do you believe that? You believe that He upholds all things with the word of His power? That He knows every single event, every day that is going to unfold, and it does not trouble Him. He has everything under control. We don't have to worry about a thing. And then He gives us this release. When we do let circumstances get our nerves frayed and we get our eyes off the Lord. I mean, Peter was the greatest world's greatest water walker. As long as he had his eyes on the Lord, he was walking on water. None of the other disciples did that. The Lord bid him come, he went. And he let other things get him distracted, But you know the first thing that he did? He prayed. When he began to sink, he said, "Lord, help me. I perish." What a great lesson for you and I. See, there are going to be storms in your life. There are going to be trials that will frazzle you, that will make your mind roll with thought at night. And the best way to deal with it is take it to the Lord. Go to God in prayer. Seek His face. Look what it says over there in Philippians chapter 4. Isn't this amazing? We're preaching on rejoicing last week. Rejoice evermore. Look what it says in Philippians 4, verse 4, right before he talks about prayer, about praying. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing." And that has the English word, the old English word, carries with it this idea. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't be worried. Don't be careful. Be careful for nothing. Because God's got it under control. I couldn't get it out there. He got it under control. But notice, "But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I know that this works. I remember years ago, me and Josh, we were worried about the kids. We were worried about how things were going to go. And Josh just looked at me and he said, "Dad, let's pray right now." We got on our knees and began to pray and pour our hearts out to God, and the peace that passes all understanding dissolved the worry. We realize that God has everything under control. Now, I wish I could say that once we did that, it fixed everything, that from then on, we never had another worry. We never were distressed. But the reality is, that's part of our human nature. And that's why we're giving this release. We're given this by God as a gift. Pray without ceasing. Come to the throne of grace. Call upon me. When we think of these promises, our hearts should daily be engaged in real, consistent praying. I get convicted when I preach about prayer. Because no matter how I engage, how much I do, I always feel like I need to do more. You know, I worry about people that never examine their own spiritual life and never feel deficient and humbled by what may be lacking. You know, for me, it's not hard. Bible before breakfast, that's not hard for me. I eat the Word of God every single day by the grace of God. But sometimes prayer is a little more difficult for me. And I have to admit that. I hate to bust your bubble about your pastor. Maybe you thought I was practically perfect in every way. I need your prayers. I need to be a better man of prayer. You and I, we need to go to God with hearts open and devoted and longing for His presence, longing for His power to be manifest in our lives, so that we can walk right and talk right and do right and have an influence in this world. God uses praying men. And He says, "Call unto Me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." So many promises. You ever thought about the whole armor of God, how Paul ends up that whole discourse? He ends it up with, don't forget about prayer. He said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Prayer is a spiritual exercise that is prompted by the working of the Holy Spirit. I believe the Spirit of God directs you to pray according to the will of God. And we have promises that if we ask anything in His name, in the name, by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of His Word, He will give it us. Give it to us. You say, well, preacher, I've really been praying about a pink Cadillac. Yeah, that's not His will for you. That's why you don't have one. I think people waste a lot of time praying about things that aren't even promised or revealed in the Word of God. Let's go to God and start praying for a greater understanding of His Word. Let's pray for preachers when they stand up, that they'll read the Bible text and explain what it means and teach it and preach it with an aim, not just to dispense information, but that the Word of God may be transformational. Let's pray that God would have His hand on preachers. Let's pray that God will save sinners and deal with them and change their hearts. People talk about what our country needs. Our country needs people getting on their faces and going before God in prayer. You know the famous text, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray." You know, I think that may be essential to praying in the Spirit. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, humility. Recognizing just how weak you are apart from the grace and the power of God. "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," repentance. "Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Now that was a promise directly to the nation of Israel, but by application, I believe that people anywhere and everywhere should call upon God to heal their land. Because every land throughout the entire world is filled with sin and depravity and degradation. But I don't think people really believe in the power of prayer. I've seen it work. We've had people. Here's another thing. When people get sick and we pray for them, do you know that God hears those prayers? And anytime anybody is healed of anything, it's all of God. But He tells us to pray. To pray for one another. I don't know exactly what may be going on in your life, but I love you. I am concerned about, I want the best for you. You see, the fact is pray without ceasing. It's a very broad command. But when you start thinking about it, there's quite a bit we can pray about. We can pray for one another. We can pray for the pastor and preachers all across the world. We can pray for sinners to be saved. We can pray for our country. We can pray for those that are in authority, that God will humble them and direct them according to His Word. There is a lot to pray about. And that's why we have this admonition. And I ask God tonight, and I ask you to give up. Let's have a greater desire to pray without ceasing. To put this into practice. When you wake up tonight, in the middle of the night, instead of worrying about your circumstances, how about praying? How about calling upon the Lord? When you get up tomorrow and you're ready to eat your Bible before breakfast, ask God to show you wondrous things out of His law. Tomorrow, when you're faced with circumstances that are beyond your control, go to the secret place of the Most High and direct your heart, your mind, your thoughts to God and ask Him to help you. Gavin, if you need help when you're studying, go to God. Depend on God. You know, I was going to get to the next point, but I'm not there. We'll get to that. We're going to finish up these admonitions next week. And then we'll get on to finishing up the whole chapter the week after that, God willing. But prayer. Pray without ceasing. Let's all stand.